It's 88.5 with Nick Harcourt, and well, last Friday night, Michael Kiwanuka was in town for an amazing show, I'm sure. I don't really know because we're recording this on Friday before the show, but Michael Kiwanuka, welcome back to the studios here at 88.5.
Hi.
I'm sure you had a fantastic night.
Yeah, I'm sure we did. I'm looking forward to it, but yeah.
Who you got in the studio with you today?
So I got Michael Jablonka on the electric guitar. Yeah. And then and I got Simone Daly Richards on vocals and tambourine.
Oh, yeah.
And Emily Holligan on vocals and maracas? Is that what you call them? Shakers. Right,
yeah. Shakers.
Yeah.
Well, welcome all.
Thank you.
Good to see you. We're going to come back and talk about the new album, Kiwanuka, and probably a couple of other things as well. But what are you going to play for us first?
Yeah, I'm going to play You Ain't the Problem from Kiwanuka.
All right. It's Michael Kiwanuka at 88.5.
One, two. I won't change my name, no matter what they call me. I lost my only friend, and I'll grieve you till the end. Am I a hero? Am I a hero now? To die a hero is all that we know now.
Michael Kiwanuka in studio here at 88.5, and I love that version of that song. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Well, let's catch up a little bit. The album is out now, Kiwanuka. It's the third album. Mm. What happened in between 2 and 3? Because I know Love and Hate obviously had some success. I think you got married around about the time that came out as well, right?
Yeah, that's right.
What kind of difference did that make to your writing?
A lot, you know, it's a completely new stage of life, so your mind changes completely to singing about just you and what's in your head. It's still you and what's in your head, but then there's two of you, so you know you're singing. Your life is now like two of you. If that makes any sense? Yeah, it's completely different. So you know,
it's a different prism.
Yeah,
looking at life, right?
Yeah.
And what about personally? I mean, your reflections on the world, traveling around, obviously, and the success of that album took you to some places I'm sure you'd never been before. What did you pick up along the way?
Yeah, you know, just really like more confidence and experience as an artist, and getting to play more shows, different types of shows, different sets of bills at festivals. You know, you pick up new things along the way, and you kind of just grow and soak up like a sponge. So, you know, I picked that up on the travels of like Love and Hate and touring that. And then, yeah, seeing new places, you get new inspirations, and seeing new bands as well, different bands, and seeing them perform, you get new ideas about what songs you want to make and what you want to do for the next project, you know, to take back to the stage.
Has your approach to songwriting changed at all?
In its simplest essence, no, not really. But in terms of, but the process maybe a little bit, you know, at the core it's the same. It's like what I'm thinking about. And what I really have on my heart, I guess, in my head, is still the main catalyst for a song. But I guess there's some developments in terms of like when I'm at the studio, how to really conjure that.
What comes first for you? Do the words come first or the music?
It's the music that comes first for me. Definitely the music. And sometimes I have it like a couple of lines, like with Hero, that one we just played is, you know, had some chords, and the first thing I sung, kind of, from what I remember, was "Am I Your Hero? Am I Your Hero Now?" just randomly.
Was that coming from anywhere? Was that something that was coming in, you know, from your life?
Yeah, for that one it was. I was actually here in Los Angeles recording. We were in, I think it was Highland Park or studio around there, and you know, you're doing your third record. I'm starting the third record, and you're trying to grow as an artist, and I was just thinking about, at first anyway, it kind of developed as I went on, but I was just thinking about singers and what it is to be an artist, and artists that break through to, you know, large degree, you know, the legends, the icons, and what do you have to do, or what do you have to really sacrifice to become that. So it's funny, all those like biopics came out, like the Elton John's ones and the Freddie Mercury. And it seemed like they all just kind of had to hide or like give up a big part of themselves in order to become these legends. And "Am I Your Hero" was kind of that question of like, if I do that, am I going to be that, you know, is that what it takes, you know? That's kind of what I was thinking as I sang that.
If you're just joining us, I'm listening to, you're listening to 88.5. I'm Nick Harcourt. I'm listening to myself, obviously. And Michael Kiwanuka is our guest in studio. When you wrote that song, did you know that it was going to be, I mean, did you feel that it was going to be like that sort of psychedelic sound? Did you have that in mind?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in the studio, you know, working with Danger Mouse and Inflow, we're doing everything like at the same time in a way, you know, like really use the studio. So it's like they're like producing at the same time.
I'm going to say, what do you mean by that? Really use the studio.
So like use it as a way to write. So when you just like have a guitar, you use the guitar, you know, you just have some chords and the melody, and that's what you have. Those are your tools, and then your mind and your imagination. But with a studio, your tools are like tenfold. You know, you have a drum kit, you have a drum beat, you have a bass guitar, you have all the effects on the outboard gear. If you've got a big, nice studio in LA, you know, you're going to have a lot of gear.
A lot of gear in there, yeah.
Yeah. And so you kind of use that as a way to expand on what you have in your imagination. So that's kind of, I guess, what I meant. So there's psychedelic element to it, in a way, came before like the meaning of the song. You know, it was easier to come up with that. You know, you just kind of play, and you've got the speakers, two big speakers in front of you playing back in real time. So you can react in a certain way, and it kind of does something to your creativity.
Was there anything else came out of those sessions that was new to you?
Yeah. Well, you know, that really, just the sounds, you know, like...
Just using different gear and...
Yeah, you know, like...
Trying different things.
Yeah, and you can come up with different melodies. You can hear, you know, you can come up with like a backing vocal first before you can come up with a melody. Sometimes, you know, when you're playing the guitar, it's like... I still do it that way. I still love it, but it can seem often one-dimensional if that's all you have all the time. So, you know, loads of things. You can start a song off with the drums, you know. You can start with one song, you know, we played You Ain't the Problem before. You can start off with just drums. That was like drums and tambourine at first. So, you know, you've got so many different ways to come up with things, which I'd never done before.
So were you writing lyrics while you're in the studio as well?
Lyrics kind of came... I'm kind of slow with lyrics, so they came way later.
Right.
But melodies and things, and some lines, like Kiro, you know, there was a few things I kept, but because I'm slow and with lyrics, I don't want to slow the process down, so I kind of wait for them to come.
Do you have to make them come? I mean, or do you just sort of like, well, you said you wait. I mean, how does that work for you?
Yeah, you just kind of sit there. You can make them come, but you sit there and sometimes something comes up and it's you just kind of don't rush it. You don't force it. I guess what is what I mean with the waiting. And then it gets to a point when so much music is made for a project that you start to just write random stuff down again and again. This is my process anyway.
Sure.
And then, you know, you might put something down just so that you can have something there. And then you wait a bit more. You might sleep, wake up, walk to the studio, and you're like, oh, this other line might be better. And then sometimes it just comes out. I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Was there anything in particular you wanted to write about? I mean, you write about your life, obviously, and personal stuff. What about politically?
I mean, politically, there wasn't too much, really. But I guess the thing with politics, you know, if you're writing about your life or what's around you, politics kind of by accident will come in.
Inevitably, yeah.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be like, I'm not like a necessarily a... would sit down to write a song that's political. But it's there, you know, in a way, Hero became that because, you know, that song lyrically developed to be more than just about superstars and what that sacrifice you need to make. It became also about other, you know, and how superstars die young, but also people that have a good message, whether it's, you know, well, Fred Hampton was a big... influence on that song, and he, you know, he was in the Black Panther Party. I think from Chicago, got assassinated at 21, and he had such a strong, clear, and positive message to young people of the time. Charismatic guy, had only good things to really give to the world, and he got, you know, shot down, and you know, so I guess in a sense that becomes political, but it wasn't the intention. But when you just write about things, you know, it'll come in there.
Let me ask you before we jump into the final song. You mentioned becoming aware of a moment, perhaps, where, you know, fame is upon you. Mm. What difference to your career? How much of a difference to your career did "Cold Little Heart" being used in "Big Little Lies" make?
Mm. Yeah, it was a big difference. You know, it was like people. It just brought loads of people to the album. You know, the way that they used Cold Little Heart in Big Little Lies was like they used a lot of the song, of the main body of the song, and it just worked. And people really liked the TV show, so people would just be like, what song is that, you know?
Hit the Shazam.
Yeah.
Find you.
Yeah.
Explore the rest of the material, hopefully.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that happened a lot, and so it just doors began to open and... you know, tickets began to sell for shows.
It's amazing how much difference just being heard can make, right?
Yeah.
I speak to a lot of artists and most of them say, you know, we just want to be heard. And being able to cut through is such a difficult thing these days. A placement like that really can make a huge difference.
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, it was a huge difference. And that's the thing, to be heard, you know, it really felt like you got some kind of golden ticket. I always say it's like the Willy Wonka ticket, you know, you just open... It's just anyone can have it. Everyone buys the chocolate. You know, so many musicians, so many great musicians, artists all around the world, but only a few get that lucky kind of ticket, golden ticket, where it just happens through no, like, force of your own or, like, skill of your own, really, other than the music.
It's almost accidental.
Yeah, and then suddenly, you know, you're off. So it was crazy.
Well, listen, thank you for coming in and playing for us. I do appreciate it. Thanks to all the guys in studio with you as well. Good luck this year. I know you just kicked off this tour as well, and I'm sure there's festivals and all sorts of stuff going on for you this year. What are you going to wrap up with?
Yeah, I'm going to wrap up with the song we just mentioned off of, which ended up on Big Little Lies, right. Cold Little Heart.
Thanks again for being here. Michael Kiwanuka, Nick Harcourt signing off at the top of the hour. It's 88.5 FM. Take it away, guys.